Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello, once again, everyone. I'm your host, Ray Shasho. Welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on VBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. With over 30 years of experience in the music industry, Southside Johnny and the Asbury Dukes music features blues-inspired horns blended with gritty rock and roll. Their hit songs include I Don't Want to Go Home, Love on the Wrong Side of Town, and The Fever. The group has more than 30 albums and has played thousands of legendary live performances around the globe. Originally formed in 1975, the Jersey Shore musical group led by Southside Johnny started as the house band at the Stone Pony in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Since then, the band has undergone many changes in band members. In the early years, the group performed alongside Bruce Springsteen and John Bon Jovi, with members later joining Springsteen's E Street Band. With a flourishing career spanning across decades, Southside Johnny and Asbury Dukes continue providing fans with their upbeat Jersey sound and rhythm and blues feel with hits like Having a Party, This Time It's For Real, and Talk to Me. Please welcome singer-songwriter for Southside Johnny and Asbury Dukes and grandfather of the New Jersey sound, Southside Johnny. Hello.
I'm my grandfather. Come on now.
Are you?
I'm too, so I can't be a grandfather as far as I know. Anyway.
Well, let's see. John Mayall's the godfather of the British blues, so you're the grandfather of New Jersey sound.
I guess I'm stuck with that. Huh?
I think you're stuck with that now, yeah. I'm originally from the D.C. area, man, and you guys were big favorites around the city. Oh, man, you guys were playing everywhere all the time. I believe you played, didn't you play the Cellar Door? Probably D.A.R.
Yep.
Constitution
Hall. The Cellar Door, the yep. Bayou. Yep. I'm trying to think of the other place we played down there. Now we play a lot in Alexandria at the Berkshire, which is a great place, which is outside of D.C., and I love that place.
Yeah, I've been to the Birchmere many a times, and you're coming up June 15th at Birchmere in Alexandria, and also Ramshead in Annapolis. I was actually a DJ in Annapolis back in the late 70s. I did Top 40 Radio. So, yeah, I know all the places you're playing at, man. That was my old stomping grounds.
Those are great places, both Ramshead and the Birchmere. We always enjoy going down there. It's a pleasure. You're slogged through, and you're all playing the place different.
Now, you guys have a pretty lengthy tour here. Tomorrow you're going to be at the Belmont, right? At the racetrack.
Right, we're going to be at the racetrack. I think we played a song before, I guess, one of the races. And then we're going to do an hour afterwards. That's Friday. So, I don't know. I just go where they tell me, and they say, sing. I sing, and they say, shut up, and I shut up. I boil it down to just point me in the direction of the stage and tell me where to go. I don't want to deal with any of the details. I've been doing it too long to have to worry about any of that stuff.
I don't blame you. Well, obviously...
All I have to do is try to remember some of the words. If I got like 85% of the words right, successfully.
You also got, the Rochester International Jazz Festival. That's coming up June 22nd. I'm going to post all these dates on all my websites, and it'll be on YouTube, and so everybody can see that. Of course, they can always go to your website as well. But I don't see any Florida dates, man. What's going on with that? Where's the Southern dates?
We did Florida earlier in the year.
Okay.
We were down there, and I think we're supposed to go back. We were supposed to have a date in Key West, but the storm had gone through,
right.
So we didn't do it, and I guess we owe them a date. But we went earlier, I guess February or something like that. It was great. It was a great time.
Yeah, I'm about an hour south of Tampa. So anytime you come to Tampa, we'll definitely catch the show.
Okay, I think we do have dates in Florida. I mean, that's the rumors anyway, but as I say, I don't pay any attention.
I want to talk to a little bit. The your last album, Soul Time, was incredible, man. Oh, I loved it. The you know, a lot of R&B tracks. It was very reminiscent of like 70s soul and R&B. That was a great album, and it got lots of great press.
Yeah, it was written from that perspective, 70s or R&B, a little bit later than the 60s stuff that we're kind of known for, although we've had all sorts of different types of music that we've done. I think that I heard some R&B, and I thought, that's what I want to do. It was just one of the Tiffany's. I was in a liquor store, they played Superfly, and Curtis Mayfield, and I thought, I love that stuff. And so I sat down with my songwriting partner, Jeff DeZero, I said, this is what the direction I want to go for this record. And it was like, it was as easy as anything because we both understood that time. We took it to the band, they added their own things, and they understood it completely too. So it was very easy, very pleasurable experience to make that record. They're not always so easy and so pleasurable.
And you got the voice for it too. I mean, you got the perfect voice for R&B and soul. You know, so.
I was thinking of going into opera, but I think they said no.
Soul opera.
I was going to be an Irish tenor, but I'm not Irish, and I'm not a tenor.
Well, I gave that album 5 stars, man, because I was really impressed by it. I love it. I'm a big R&B fan, too, growing up in D.C. and Baltimore, and you know, I used to see all those bands all the time. From time to time, I get a lot of R&B artists. I try. A lot of them have left us, but anytime I can, I get them on the show because, yeah, I love those guys.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
So are you guys going to work on anything new?
We are in the process of writing it, but it's been a slow go.
Right.
We're working a lot, and there's been some family stuff. You know, there's a moment when you can write. And there's a moment you have to deal with the rest of life. And eventually we will get it done and hopefully have a new album out. I would like it to be out next year, but I can't guarantee anything. Being the president of my own record company, I can't guarantee it.
Well, any hints of what we might see in the new one? Are we going to get a little bit more R&B in there? Or?
Well, I was thinking about a follow-up to the Soul Time. But
yeah.
I never like to box myself in by saying I'm going to do this and I'll do that because things change.
Right.
And then you take it to the band and they start to interpret the songs and realize, maybe that's a better way to go for some of these songs. So I like to leave it as open as I can to other input and see what pleases me at the moment when we're actually making the music. I don't like to be so high bound that every note is written down. I want to see what happens in the studio during rehearsals. I want to hear what these guys can bring to it.
Right, exactly. That, do you guys, when you record, I mean, are you in a studio or are you guys doing stuff at home and just kind of sending, you know, MP3s back and forth, that kind of thing?
No, we go into a studio. We got a great studio in Hedley Park. Lakeside Studios. It's fairly new, a few years.
Right.
And we recorded the Soul Time there, and it was just a great experience. So I recommend the studio there at Bray Park Lakeside. It was just fantastic equipment and great people.
Yeah, I like the old-fashioned studio myself, you know. I think, you know.
Well, we try to record live. I mean, we might always have the horns and all, but.
Right.
I sing along with the band, you know, in a pool shift. You know, sometimes we put the horns on at the same time. And, you know, it's a band. You can play. You know, let it play. But I try not to fine-tune everything, but just find the emotional output from the whole band, and not just me, but everybody.
Now, was Steve Van Zandt, was he in the last album that, you know, from On Soul Time? Was he in that?
No, he wasn't. He played it for him. He said, "Oh, I know what you got to do now." I said, "Steven, the record is finished."
That's funny.
But he liked it. I mean, he just wanted to enhance it. But, so, you know, I mean, I'd love to work with him again, but they're crazy together, so we'll see.
you've kind of stuck to your guns all these years and have really not gone off the beaten path, you know, that let the commercial guys rule you, except for one album. Isn't that right?
Well, I signed. I didn't have any ideas. Nile Rodgers was a hot producer.
Right.
Billy Lester was the songwriter, and I was writing together. And the record company guys said, do it. I said, okay, screw it. And I really didn't like the way it came out. But, you know, that's, you live and learn. It's okay. But you do what you do, and you move on.
Yeah, Trash It Up, Niles Rodgers actually produced it, you know.
That's correct.
Yeah, and he's been around for a while. He's definitely a you know, great musician and producer as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I just think this is the direction I really wanted to go in, but as I say, I didn't have really any. I was kind of lost.
Right.
As far as ideas, and I thought, well, let's be able to do it for once.
Right, exactly.
Let's see how it works out. It didn't work out.
Yeah. I had this conversation with Dennis LeCourier from Dr. John, you know.
A great guy, yeah.
Good guy. Very funny. You know, he had, of course, Dr. John was, you know, more or less a rock and roll band, and they went disco, you know, and but they had to because they were broke. They had no choice at the time. But they did pretty well. They
well,
got away
you know,
with it.
He's a terrific guy, so I wish him well.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Would you say Hearts of Stone is a masterpiece, one of the masterpiece albums in the
band? That's not for me to say. I mean, you make the records and you let people decide whether they like it or not. I don't look back at my career and say, oh, that was great, this is terrible.
Right.
I don't bother with any of that stuff. I mean, you know, kind of, you always have to look forward and to see what your next job is, what your next goal, what you should be doing. I try not to look back that much. It's too scary.
Yeah, you really didn't care if you got the hits and that kind of thing, did you? You were just in it for the, you know, the enjoyment, I guess, and just loving music.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we all started.
Yeah,
just because we wanted to make music. But we only made our first album. I thought they'd never make another one, so I just said, "Hey, I'm just going to enjoy it." And when we did start making more records, I thought, okay, I'm going to do it the way I want. I've always had this number of people saying, do this song if you're hit. I go home, listen to the song, and go, they don't even know who I am. That song is so far from what anything I believe in. And you just can't give up on the record companies. You just go, hey, you're trying to make me a hit, I'm trying to make music.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry I'm not filling those records for you. But leave me alone.
Yeah. Well, I admire that. You know, I admire that.
Well, it's feeling really good. I mean, you don't have a long career if you go on stage every night and have to sing songs you don't believe in.
Right.
I mean, you drink yourself to death.
Sure. I agree. And you stuck your guns, like I said, for all these years, and I think that's great. Your cover of Walk Away Renee, that was pretty powerful. What made you, did you have some kind of attachment to that song that you really, you know?
No, I heard it driving up to a gig in Poughkeepsie.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, I love that song. I just heard the Mustang version that day, but I, of course, listened to the top version too. And I just started seeing it on stage, just kind of drifted in my mind, and Bobby didn't hear it, like, it's okay, it's fine. Read the song.
Right.
And he started playing on guitar, and he sang the harmonies, and it really went over well, and so we worked it up and put it on the record. But it was really a spontaneous moment. It's just, I heard it, and I felt like singing it, so I did. I mean, if nobody had come in, I would have done a verse and a chorus and ended it, drummer came in a little bit, and it all went very well. It's one of those moments on stage where you just let things happen.
Yeah. Do you still play that? Is that part of
It's very popular. We do it just about every night.
Right.
It's really showcased for my saxophone player now, to John Osmond. He's great.
Yeah.
And he has to do a long solo in it, and I just relax.
I love your attitude, man. It's great.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be doing this all this year if I didn't really enjoy it. There are moments when I think I cannot do this anymore. I don't like it.
Right.
But those are few and far between. And the fact is that when you get on stage, that the 2 hours on stage makes your life worth living.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough to, you know, leave it behind and retire. I mean, that's why there's so many rockers that are, you know, like, you know, I was just talking about John Mayall. I mean, he's in his 80s. He's still out there touring, you know?
Well, yeah, and I mean, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, that's true. You going to play golf?
It's not like they give you all these other options or anything. You do the best you can, and roll it out with her. I mean, you just don't have anything else.
Right. How about family? Do you have grandkids?
No, I don't have any kids.
No kids?
But that's still friends.
Wow, so that means you're free.
Well, I'm not free. I'm very expensive. No, I like being by myself. I like living my own little life. I really don't need a whole lot of complications.
Yeah. Before the call, you were talking about Spain, that you just came back from Spain. How long were you in Spain?
I was there. I was in Barcelona for 4 days, and then in Prague for 3 days, and then we'll be in Barcelona.
Right. Any interest?
You know, I mean, it was a fantastic experience.
Yep.
I really enjoyed it.
Any interest in, or maybe you have already, do you have a house or, you know, overseas as well that you...
No, I don't think they want me over there.
They don't want you over there?
I think they'd rather go, no, John, I think we're good.
Just come visit once in a while.
I would rather go over and vacation. I like to have my own little place, like a small little cottage.
Right.
Whenever I feel like traveling, I can go and do anything I want and travel.
Mm-hmm.
And you save your money for that instead of, I don't want a house. I mean, it's, who needs it, right?
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people are downsizing.
Well, I never upsized, so that's the way I work.
The, you know, besides, touring and stuff, you also got songs in movies and TV shows. I saw that and I was pretty surprised. And, you know, I was a big fan of The Sopranos. For some reason, I don't remember the show that you were in. You were in, a show.
The one with Nancy Sinatra.
Right. It was called Chasing It, I think. I think it was the name of the show.
I don't remember the name of the show. I don't think they ever told me.
And it's.
But I was there for, I guess, from 5:30 to 7 o'clock at night, and we did it at the very end, and I was on screen for like 3 seconds.
Really? Did you get
really?
The?
And that's the way it goes with that stuff.
Yeah.
It's a very strange experience. But,
did you get to meet the whole cast?
Yeah, I met Nancy Sinatra, was great. I met James Gandolfi and all the rest of those guys. Terrific people. I really enjoyed meeting him. It was a damn shame that he died. He was just a great actor.
Yeah.
So, but these things happen. What are you going to do?
Yeah. That was, I think you did a song called Boss Man, right? During that.
Yeah, Big Boss Man. I think it was called.
Big Boss Man.
It was a great song.
Yeah. Steve was great in that show, man.
Yeah, Steve was in his element there.
Did you kid him or anything about being on the show, or did you guys talk about
it? No, not really. I thought he was perfect for it.
He was great.
But, you know, I know he digs that stuff. So, I thought it was great.
Yeah, Jersey, I've been to Jersey a lot, you know, originally coming from D.C., and, of course, I've been to Atlantic City. I went to Atlantic City when they first opened up the gambling thing, and had family in Jersey. You know, it's a cool place. It really is. And there's a lot to do there, but, I was going to mention Frank Sinatra. Have you ever met Frank?
No, I never met Frank Sinatra. I saw him live a couple of times.
Right.
That was an interesting experience.
Really? What? Why was that?
Well, he had a little bit too much wine one night, and he started yelling about John Belushi, and I
really
didn't quite make the connection. You know, he's Frank Sinatra. He can do what he wants.
Yeah. I actually saw him 5 times in concert. I saw him front row center in Vegas, front row center at, I think it was at Resorts in Atlantic City. So, what a hell of a band he had, you know? Terrific.
He was a professional musician, that's for sure.
Yeah. So what's next for you? You got the tour. You're working, I guess you're still writing and you got an album we hope to see, a new album, maybe next year sometime?
Yeah, I'm hoping next year that it gets finished. But, you know, I can't guarantee anything, as I say, because I just don't know.
Right. You just take it as it comes.
That's right. It's just play as it lays, as they say.
What was your greatest challenge all these years in the music business? Was there a challenge?
Losing my mind.
Losing?
I mean, they do things to you, they say things to you, and you go, who are you talking to? I mean, what are you talking about? but, you know, you just kind of go with it. But there's so much misunderstanding about who people are.
Right.
And what their goals are in the music business. And I'm just glad it's kind of collapsing, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, it sure has, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's good. It's a little hubris, and a little comeuppance from that hubris is always a good thing.
Yeah. That, yeah, you know, in the 60s, and, you know, you had a lot of guys that ran the business that were probably a little shady, I would say.
Yeah, a few here and there.
Yeah, but you know what? Things got done. They were very good promoters, you know.
There were things that happened that were beneficial to some, but
right.
Sometimes it was a little shaky, and you know, you see these people and you go, I don't want to have anything to do with them.
Yeah. Yeah,
but if you want to make records back then,
yeah, no
you
choice.
Couldn't afford to be in the studio yourself. I mean, you couldn't afford to pay for it yourself. Now you can. I mean, one of the great things about the modern world is that you can make your own records and not have to worry about what other people think. It's home recording and the internet being a promoting device where you can get your music heard. It's great. It's a great time to make music.
It is. I agree with you. The big thing, you know, I guess a lot of the professionals tell new artists is you got to get out there live. I mean, that's the only way you're going to make it. You got to.
Right. You got to play live.
Right. So you've got that down, Pat.
Well, we know what we're doing, sort of.
Sort of, right?
Sort of, kind of, maybe.
Here's a question, Johnny, that I ask everybody. I get a very interesting answers, as a matter of fact. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, like the movie, the Make-A-Wish, to perform, collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be? Who would you pick?
Oh, boy, that's tough. Well, my career, but, you know, that's out of my league, so I don't know about that. I'd like to do a duet with Bonnie Raitt. I know her a little bit, and that looks great, but, you know, these are all the kind of things you think about, but will they ever happen? Who knows?
Yeah. You should be collaborating with more people. I mean, that you know, you'd mesh well with so many great artists, you know? I mean, you know, you had the Springsteen and, you know, and all that, and Van Sant, but how about some newer acts, you know?
We'll see what happens. I mean, I'm always open to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. I don't know. Maybe you don't want to get that famous.
I'm happy where I am.
I think you are. I think you're doing all right. Johnny, you have anything else you'd like to promote or chat about?
No, everything's good. We're just going to keep on keeping on and try to do the best shows and make the best
Well, we love you guys. You guys have been around for long, long time. You're always on the tour circuit. You never quit. Like I said, it felt like I was growing up with you in D.C. because you were always somewhere, you know.
Well, we're always working. We're trying to, you know, keep the wolf in the door.
Exactly. Your last album, Soul Time, 5 stars, man. It's available at Amazon.com. You're on the road again, and we'll point everybody towards your website, www.southsidejohnny.com, and you're on Facebook as well, and, you know, good luck, and hope to talk to you again soon, and hope to see you in Florida, man.
Well, thank you very much. We'll be down there sometime.
Awesome. And enjoy the road, man. Take care. Purchase Johnny and the Asbury, Southside Johnny and Asbury Juke's latest release, which is awesome, entitled Soul Time, at Amazon.com. It's a great album. I recommend it highly. 5 stars. More information about Southside Johnny, like I said, on the Asbury Juke's, visit www.southsidejohnny.com or www.facebook.com/AsburyJuke's. Very special thanks today to James Silman for arranging this interview with Southside Johnny. And, of course, the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsome of BBS Radio for making the magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, please contact me at interviewingthelegends at gmail.com. And please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho, for the very latest interviews. It's real news, people. Don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, The True Story of an Eclectic American Family and Their Wacky Family Business, available now at Amazon.com, and I promise you will live it. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on BBS Radio, Station 1.